You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. I have to take a minute to thank some of our amazing patrons because they make this show happen every single week. Thank you to Typical Tyrant, Cornaforos, Matt Jans, Menok, Nick Patrick, Rich M, Zerocio, Chris M, Robert Y, and Beef Squatch. Thank you for supporting the show. You can join this team, give some awesome perks. I'm even giving away a copy of Exploding Kittens to a patron this month. Go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to find out how you can join the team. Hello and welcome to episode 132 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. It's so good to be with each and every one of you today because as we are anticipating this grand release called the Boomsday Project, and it's coming soon, I've got a very special episode for you. Today, we are going to talk briefly about why we're happy, briefly about the news, and then I'm going to launch into an interview that I got to do with my new friend, William Hung. You might know William from his rise to stardom in his American Idol audition, of which Simon Cowell's response was, "You can't sing, you can't dance, so what do you want me to do?" And America fell in love with him. And the rest is history. But William actually got spotted recently at an HCT event, and we'll go all in depth with that and talk about the new expansion, what William's excited about. I honestly had such a blast hanging out with him, and I am honored to feature him in this episode. But before we get there, we got to talk about why we're happy today. Obviously, you know, it's hard to look past the fact that all of these new cards are happening right now, and it's overwhelming. There are a lot of new kind of mechanics happening. There's kind of some throwbacks. There are some old friends that have taken on mechanical form. And I am more hyped than ever for our review episodes that are coming up. We think next week we've got, well, I don't want to spoil the news, but next week should be when the first review episode hits for the Happy Hearthstone. We'll go through every single card over the course of two episodes. But in the context of knowing all 135 cards, it's really tough to tell how cards are going to do, period. But Steve and I always love waiting until we see them all so that we can get the best possible context going into it as we can. We can and do still make mistakes, but this allows us to truly give our best. So excited to launch those next week. I can't wait to talk about these cards in depth with you. Outside of the world of Hearthstone, there was a big opportunity at work this week for me, so you can be sending big vibes, big good vibes my way, because I am a little bit antsy about that, but I'll update you guys on Twitter as that develops. And what else? I got to spend some time in Dallas with my family, which was great. It wasn't miserably hot like I had anticipated. I think I prepared myself for the worst, and then it ended up being okay. So had a great trip out there, and just some good time with my immediate family, so I really enjoyed all that. Got to meet my niece. She's like 3 months old and is still very much a baby. I don't know that I'm much a baby guy. I love my two-year-old daughter. Love hanging out with her. But babies are a little bit tough for me. But that's okay. Family is family. And I loved being with them. Let's talk really quickly about the news so that we can get to the good stuff and the big reason why you're here. First of all, I want you to remember that there are going to be pre-release events all across the world. So whether you are a US listener, a German listener, a Japanese listener, there is a fireside happening in your country. Might be too far away, but there's a chance that you could find it. And I've got a link in the show notes so that you can find all of those. But they also recently announced that if you don't live near one of those, they're also going to have a pre-release party on Twitter, basically. And it's going to be hosted by Frodan, Ali Straza, and Cora on Saturday, August 4th, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So there are going to be some other favorite Hearthstone players, as they call them, playing in some of these tavern brawls, I assume. And it should be a lot of fun. Ali Straza is going to go up against Dina Yala. So that's going to be fun. This should be this should be a really good time to celebrate the new cards, to hear, you know, Frodan, Korra, and Alistraza are all three fantastic players of this game also. So I'm really interested to hear what their thoughts are, which cards they're most excited about, and all that kind of stuff. So be sure to tune into that on the Play Hearthstone Twitch. Should be a really good time. And again, the link for those things is in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com for this episode. And the only other thing to mention, we do have the final card reveal live stream coming up very, very shortly. It's going to be game designer Mike Dene and Day 9 from Twitch, and they are going to go into most of the remaining Boomsday cards. That will be this Wednesday, August 1st at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Oh, and actually, my mistake, it says on here that it's going to be the Blizzard Twitch channel, so twitch.tv/Blizzard. Day 9 is always fun to watch, and so this should be a really good time. He just comes up with the wittiest things on the fly. If I could have an ounce of his talent in that, I would consider myself well off for the terms of content creation. So I'll definitely be tuning in into that. I hope that many of you are too. I kind of have to tune in because I need to start formulating thoughts and opinions on these cards very quickly for those review episodes. So that's all that I have for you right now. I do want to, of course, thank all of our patrons who are supporting The Happy Hearthstone and making this show possible over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Starting at just $1 a month, you can make this show happen and get some great perks like shoutouts, or at $5, you get exclusive content every single week. I'm talking this week about some of my most anticipated Boomsday cards and the decks I'm going to be most excited to play. And I do a lot of other stuff like in-depths on certain decks, certain cards, ideas for decks you should play and stuff like that. So go check it out. Patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. You can be a part of making this show happen and be a part of the great community that we have and the team that is supporting this content. All right, without further ado, I need to send you over to the world of the interview with my great friend William Hung. Hope you all enjoy this really special conversation. Hey everyone, and welcome to this really special interview for this episode of The Happy Hearthstone. I am joined by none other than a man who I've known about for a long time. I even purchased one of his CDs at one point, and I'm really excited because he is actually a huge Hearthstone fan and even a competitive player now. I'm joined by none other than William Hung. Thanks for joining me on the show today, William.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Now, for those who may not be familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about how you came up in the public eye and sort of how you first got recognized on a national, worldwide level?
Oh, absolutely. So it all started with my American Idol audition. And the reason I chose to audition for American Idol was because I was struggling with civil engineering. I was doing terrible. And I figured that something had to change. So yeah, I just try out. I didn't have any expectations. And I even got ridiculed by Simon. He said, you can't sing, you can't dance. So what am I going to say? But yeah, I just thought it's not a big deal. So I just said how I felt. I already gave my best. I have no regrets at all. And oh my goodness, I suddenly got popular.
As exciting as that was, it started leading into, I guess, you know, Simon didn't see the future for you in the industry of music, but you actually ended up having a little bit of success there. Can you tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I didn't expect that to be to have an entertainment career. But sure. Yeah, I got a record contract. I had three albums, and the first album, Inspiration, somehow became the number one independent album on Billboards.
That's so awesome.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
And as cool as that is, we don't have you on the show to talk about your, you know, the singing competition or all of that. We actually want to talk about Hearthstone, obviously. And because I found out from some friends who were at the HCT Oakland competition that they just happened to run into you and compete against you. Actually, a member of our community, Run, he said, was one of your fierce competitors in that battle. So I'm really excited to talk through that and sort of your competitive nature in Hearthstone. But before we get there,
yes,
can you tell us how you even started out as a gamer in the first place? What did gaming look like for you either as a kid or in your young adulthood? I don't know the story, so tell us.
Oh, I love to. This has a very long history.
Okay.
Because I started playing video games since I was like 10 years old back in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Back in the Super Mario Brothers days.
Sure.
And then I remember that in Hong Kong at the time, I can't afford to buy my own system. Mm-hmm. So I would have to get in line to take turns. And then the competitive nature of it came from the fact that I didn't want to lose a life.
Sure.
Eventually, I was able to beat the whole game without losing a life. And other people were impressed, but also pissed off because they don't get to play for a long time.
That's awesome. Now, how did Hearthstone come up then? So you played these platformers, you played some original games. How did you find out about it in the first place?
Yeah. So what happened was that in high school and in college, early college, I believe,
mm-hmm.
I was into Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And my highest finish was top 32 for one of the world championships in the past.
That's no joke.
Yeah. And then in terms of Hearthstone, I only discovered it, I think, like maybe 2 years ago. So
mm-hmm.
I started playing for a bit, like maybe like two or three months, and then life took over, and I stopped because I just figured, okay, I got more important things to do. But
sure.
Then how I got back into it, I would say I got back into it like May, literally this year.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I decided to get back into it is because I was so inspired after watching the DreamHack final between Amnesiac and Soleil, that token druid mirror.
Oh,
people
yeah.
hated it, but I was fascinated by that because I love chess. I like the strategy. I like the thinking. It's like, wow, that is so amazing.
And so you decided to download it. What was it like for you as you were starting? Did it feel like second nature since you had a trading card game background?
I had to learn the ins and outs because I would say that the it's easy to learn but hard to master. It's just
Absolutely.
Like any other card game out there. Yeah. So yeah, I feel that the last 3 months has been great. I feel that the it rewards players that are creative but also play really well. Like
mm-hmm.
like because any deck can succeed. That's what it feels like right now. The last
sure,
3 months.
Sure.
After those. The nerves for the crazy cute warlock.
That's right. And Spiteful Summoner and even Paladin.
Spiteful Summoner.
They
yes,
all got the ban.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
You may have not played for very long, but you've already accomplished quite a bit. So can you tell us sort of like your ladder journey and like how has that played out for you so far? What's your highest rank?
In terms of ladder, I was able to hit Legend in May, very late in the month.
That's awesome.
But I never got it's an accomplishment,
mm-hmm.
but I never got like really high rank. It's definitely below 1,000, and some people in the competitive Hearthstone Reddit, they would call those the garbage legend ranks.
Right, right. Some people do call it that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, maybe that was a fluke. I didn't know. And then in June, I hit legend again with Paladin. And so, okay, maybe I'm not just lucky. Maybe I do have the talent for this game.
Yeah.
And then this month, I hit it really early with Control Priest, Mind Blast.
Wow, okay.
I've heard
a lot of people talking about that because it hasn't necessarily been at the top of tier lists, but it seems like it's
yes.
sort of been a sneaky deck that can really take advantage of a lot of different matchups lately.
Yes. This month has been a real a challenge for me, both
uh-huh.
mentally and learning curve and whatnot. Because I hit Legend really early, like the second week of July,
mm-hmm.
And then I started at like rank 613 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then I struggled really bad. I was like, I was having these huge losing streaks,
mm-hmm.
and then a few winning streaks, and then another huge losing streak. And then I was dropped down all the way to like 4,500 plus. And
wow.
then now I'm just starting to get back up to like the 3,000.
Wow, okay. So
yeah.
it sounds like you're really trying to kind of bust through those ceilings and, you know, figure out how to get better. What does that look like for you? Like, how do you do that either mentally or gameplay-wise? Like, what are the things that you try to do to push yourself to achieve more in the game?
I would say that mentally, I think now after those crazy swings, my mentally I approach it with more even keeled. Okay. I think that's the best way to describe it. Like, don't get too high or too low. Know that you will experience winning streaks and losing streaks.
Absolutely. Kind of, I guess, giving yourself the freedom to be okay if you don't just win every single game. A lot of people really are too hard on themselves and end up losing a lot of mental energy from that. So that's a really good reminder for us. That's good. So this Witchwood meta, it sounds like, is the only meta that you've really known as far as Hearthstone's concerned. Is that accurate?
Yes. Actually, I know it back then. The Shaman Stone days, I still remember those.
Sure.
Oh my God, it was so hard because it's so skill intensive.
Yes, but during this time, are there any decks or classes that that have been, I don't know, seemed like they're too powerful or not powerful enough? Like, I'm especially curious, are there things that you wish were better in the game, or like classes or cards that haven't quite risen to a power level that you like? I know that sometimes people have like those guilty pleasure cards where it's like, man, I love this card even though it's not that great. Do you have anything like that that you're hoping has its day?
I feel like one of my favorite decks is mm-hmm. still like Faith Hunter.
Okay.
So somehow I don't know what it is. One of my friends, he managed to go from rank 3,000 up to like top 400 with it.
Wow.
And he may be running good, I'm pretty sure, because I tested his deck mm-hmm. and I don't get anywhere close to that kind of result.
Sure.
So in terms of the cards, I would say, like, I wish somehow, you know, the clockwork automation, the one that says,
yes.
like,
double
the heal power. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I feel it should be good enough, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's 5 mana. I don't know what it is. It feels like whenever I play it, by the time I play it, it's too late.
Yeah, that was actually one of the cards in Witchwood I was most excited about because of Quest Warrior and thinking of getting that, you know, 8 damage to a random thing. Oh, all of a sudden, it's 16 damage. Like, that's just beyond insane. So I do wonder if that card's going to, especially since it's a mech, we've got a few mechs incoming, so it could have a place in this next meta coming up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes because... Because you mentioned that, like, that I would love that card, but somehow from actual play, it's mm-hmm. not good enough.
Quite yet, but we'll see what happens.
No.
Before we get too ahead of ourselves in predicting the future, though, I want to talk a little bit about the present. So you mentioned that you hit Legend with Paladin. Was that an odd Paladin deck?
Yeah. So in June, I hit it with odd Paladin, yes.
Okay. You mentioned Mind Blast Priest, and so it's 3 times that you've hit it now? Was there a different deck that you hit it with also?
I forgot why it was in May.
And especially with very different play styles like Odd Paladin and Control Priest, it sounds like you've gotten good taste of the different power level of different classes and stuff like that. How do you feel like things have progressed, especially, you know, mentioning the nerfs from before where things were very rock, paper, scissors-y with very different, you know, specific decks, kind of the big 3 that were kind of
right.
on top. Do you feel like things are healthier now, that there's a more diverse pool of things that can rise up, or is it more frustrating for you not knowing what you're going to match up against? What do you think you prefer, seeing both of those?
If you say prefer, I think I like the word prefer. I prefer this meta right now.
Uh-huh.
It is very frustrating. Whenever I play against Warlock, I have no idea if I'm going against Even or Sue.
That's probably the toughest
deal.
One. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
it's very frustrating to throw away games just because you Morgan wrong.
Absolutely. And every now and then I'll run into the crazy person who's still making Q block work, and that's even like more so like, oh, and I got rid of my ooze. I needed that now. This is like the one matchup. Something like that. That's really cool. When you're looking at how to get better on the ladder and you're choosing a deck during a time that's really diverse like this, how did you even come to the decision for the Control Priest? Did you watch other players who were doing well with it? Did you kind of concoct something on your own? Did you want to try something that you hadn't done yet? How did that come up?
Okay, so yeah, I do study the pro players. Uh-huh. I watch their streams and I figure out all, and I play. I just play actual games and see if it feels good. All right, does mm-hmm. it feel good the same way? One person I study from, and he's not the only person. I study from Just Saying.
Yeah,
I love watching him play. He's really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's a great player. Yeah,
he does a good job of talking through his plays, helping you understand what he's thinking, which is really what you want when you're looking for streamers and stuff like that. Well, cool. I did want to ask about your HCT Oakland competition. So let's start at the beginning for that. Like, where did the decision to compete come from? I mean, it sounds like this really is in your blood. And I know that you're maybe a bit more casual of a competitive player, but it sounds like you really want to do well at this. So where did the decision to kind of move from, I'm going to try and do well on the ladder, to I'm going to compete at a tournament? Because they're very different, even though they're, you know, I guess competitively similar. But what got you over the edge for showing up that day?
Because I feel like I'm very impressed with the streamers, and I want to be part of it. And fortunately, and luckily enough, I was part of it. I was streamed on round one against Shenanigans.
Yeah, that was awesome to see that. Did you expect that at all? Were you kind of thrown off like, oh man, I got to start off on my game from the get-go?
Frodan and Admirable actually know who I am. Uh-huh. So I wasn't sure. I can't say I was surprised, but I was surprised to be streamed round one in a way. But it's good. I think it turned out to be great because I also made a lot of new friends because of it.
Yeah, I can speak on behalf of many people who saw from the outside, but it seems like it was your experience there too, that it was really, it was exciting to see somebody that we know that we haven't necessarily heard from or had any inkling that, you know, you were into this game that, wow, you know, William Hung loves Hearthstone and he's just here to be a part of the community. That was really exciting.
Yes. So. Yeah, it was so much fun.
So I know that you ended, I think, with a 4-3 streak. Is that right at the end?
Yeah, turned out to be 4-4, and then I just decided to drop. Yeah, that's okay.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a point, and I competed at a DreamHack event and had a similar place where it's like, you know that you're not going to get into the final bracket necessarily, so it doesn't...
Right.
Like, you can play it out for fun, or you can just stop, but there's a lot of mental energy that you're expending just going through 9 rounds of Conquest and stuff like that. Talk to us about kind of that mental strain. Was it more than you were expecting? How did you work through it? What did that look like?
Yeah, I have to say I wasn't as mentally sharp as I needed to be, mm-hmm. because it's my first long event that I competed like this. I mean, I definitely have experience competing like this in other major tournaments, like, you know, Magic the Gathering or Pokemon Trading Card Game, the mm-hmm. long Swiss rounds and whatnot. So it's not my first time doing it, but it's my first time doing it for a long time for when it comes to gaming experience like this. And yeah, I feel that there were a few matches where I probably just threw away games.
And that happens, you know. I mean, you kind of have to treat it similarly to how you talked about the ladder, that you're going to go on losing streaks, you know, from time to time.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, I don't think you can really understand it until you compete at a live tournament event, just how grueling it is on you, whether you're able to really shrug it off or not. There's still a lot of pressure to do the absolute most that you can with the hands that you're drawn and against competitors that you know are ruthless and high level as well. But that's really cool to hear. What would you do differently for your next event? How are you hoping to kind of shift things to maybe do a little bit better each time?
I would say I would do more diligent preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the Oakland one, I didn't have that much time to prepare.
Yeah.
Because I just came back from a speaking trip in Singapore, so I only got a week before my competition.
Oh wow!
That's not much. And then the way I decided the lineup was I researched the HCT Italy,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that Musty and Justin's control lineup did really really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought that same lineup. I don't think it's a bad call, even though it's kind of rough to, you know, go into control mirrors and, you know, a few anti-controls here and there.
Uh-huh.
I feel that if I play better, a reasonable record would be 6-3, which is not bad at all.
Sure, no. I mean, having a winning record at all or hitting 50% is very, honestly, it's really good. Especially when you only had a week to go in there. It's your very first one. I mean, you know, anything that you do new, you can't compare yourself to the people who have been doing this for years. You know, like you should do worse than them. But being able to do something allows you to set a foundation to, you know, start improving, finding the areas you can get better and stuff. So that's that's really great to hear. You know, we may have some listeners who have maybe been on the edge thinking about signing up for one of these HCT events or a DreamHack or even a local fireside gathering or something like that. What would you say to people who have been thinking about upping their competition level and getting to one of these live events?
Well, there's a big difference. I mean, there's a pre-release coming up, and we can talk more about that when we talk about the Doomsday project. Mm-hmm. That's a very different approach because it's a very casual, you're not worried about winning. But when it comes to like maybe like the next one, the next major one I might consider doing would be the DreamHack Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I would say really like think about study the numbers. Use hsreplay.net.
Yeah.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. It is an incredible resource. I listened to other podcasts like the one like Well Met mm-hmm. and Fury Hunter, one of the recent winners. He talked about how to use the statistics the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really important too. It's a good thing to see them. It's another thing to really know how to digest them well and make good decisions for what's coming on that. That's really great.
Yes.
William, I had a couple more questions about your HCT competition that actually came from some of our patrons. One of them, Tiger Lily, wanted to ask which you felt more proud of achieving, American Idol or getting legend in Hearthstone?
I can't really compare the two because I would say I'm more proud of the legend in Hearthstone because American Idol it just happened. I was at the right place at the right time.
Sure.
Because at the time, when people don't make it to Hollywood, mm-hmm. they would get angry and upset.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel the need to do that. And then what happened was that my audition, because I didn't get upset and angry, that turned out to be the most unique audition. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what?
and America fell in love with you in a moment because of that. But, you know, I think it speaks a lot to just who you are as a person that you were able to take something that, like you mentioned, a lot of people would have treated that really poorly and negatively. And you really spun it into something different. And we had another patron, Gromick, ask if you can tell us where you get your confidence from. Like, how in the world does a guy take something that was so that seemed so dejecting coming from Simon Cowell and really spin it into an entire? Because now I know you've got a great public speaking platform where you truly are an inspiration to a lot of people, business wise and personal wise. Like, where does that drive come from for you?
I would say partially from my parents, because my mom always tell me that it's okay to fail as long as you try your best. Mm. So that's part of it. And then the other part of it, I just feel like in life, it's just sort of my life philosophy. If life is too short, we only got one life to live. So why not try?
Mm. Absolutely. Well, that's really great stuff. Well, let's move into some Boomsday project because I'm really excited about this expansion, but I can imagine, William, as we're talking and stuff, like this is the first anticipation time you've had for a new meta, for new cards and all of that kind of stuff. Like, can you tell us a little bit about just how you're feeling as a new player with the incoming new expansion?
Oh my goodness. This set is going to be crazy. There's going to be so many new mechanics, so many twists. Yeah, we have no idea what the meta game would turn into. Obviously there's a lot of discussion about a lot of the cards, and a lot of the cards have the potential to be broken.
Sure. There's always the potential, and I think it's especially hard during this time right before when we're seeing some of them, but we don't know quite how they're going to fit in, to almost like just assume the things that we think are going to be broken are going to break the game. But I can tell you from experience, we've thought this and we've been down this road before with other cards that we've seen. In fact, the one that comes to mind is Menagerie Warden, which had a battle cry that summoned a copy of a friendly beast. And everybody thought that Stranglethorn Tiger on 5, Menagerie Warden on 6 was going to break the game in half. And it ended up not being really effective at all. And in fact, I bet as a new listener or a new player, you look at that and you're kind of like, what were you guys thinking? Like, why would that be so impactful? But it's weird how like your emotions and stuff kind of play into just the excitement of seeing the new cards and just thinking, oh, this has way too much potential. But it's also really exciting. And in fact, we wanted to talk about a couple of these cards. You know, for any new listeners, we are going to release our review episode starting next week. We assume that we're going to have the entire set revealed by then, and Wicked Good and I will sit down and we will go through every single card. Usually it's a 2-part, 3 hours each, so it is a very deep dive in every card.
Nice.
But William, while I've got you on the show, I can't not talk about some of these cards with you. So I chose a couple to start us out with, and then I know you brought a card of the week that you really wanted to talk about. So
yes.
This one I'm not even sure you've seen, because as we're recording this was revealed today. So have you seen Omega Assembly yet, or has that escaped you?
Can you describe to me?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it.
This is going to be the hottest of hot takes then. I'm excited. So this is a rare warrior spell. It's 1 mana, and it reads, discover a mech. If you have 10 mana crystals, keep all 3 cards.
Whoa.
So the Omega effect we've talked about before, it does something different if you have 10 mana crystals, right?
Right.
We've seen a few of those. So this card on its own, if you're not there yet, it's a 1 mana discover a mech, which is fine on its own. But later in the game, when you have 10 mana crystals, you'll pay 1 mana, it'll show you 3 mechs, and all 3 of those mechs will go straight into your hand. So give us the absolute take here.
Really,
like, what do you think about that off the top of your head?
It's very hard to say because we're really speculating here. It depends
on
what kind of max. Yeah, it depends on what kind of max are in the max pool. Mm-hmm. From the limited pool that I'm seeing right now, it can be pretty good. It's like a value generator.
Sure.
Like you could pick up the Phoenix guy that's like has all the keywords on it.
Oh,
Divine Shield, Tarn,
right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Lifesteal, yeah.
Even if you get like 1 magnetic card and the other 2 aren't, you've got a lot of options all of a sudden there. So I think it's really interesting in the late game, and I've honestly been really anticipating some kind of mech warrior zoo, because we've already seen this 7 mana mech that has magnetic and gives one of your mechs through that can't be targeted with spells or hero powers, and it adds 8 health to them. So that just seems like such an insane buff. Add to that being able to, you know, get 3 cards in your hand. It just seems like there's a lot of potential for kind of cycling through your deck, getting some stuff out there. And I even had somebody on Twitter mention that this could really work well in like a Fatigue Warrior deck. So you think about Dead Man's Hand and the ability to just keep shuffling cards into your deck. Later in the game, if you could get a couple more of these in your deck, you could have one mana to just put 3 synergistic cards into your hand. It's really interesting to me. I think that there's a lot of potential for something very different that we haven't quite seen yet with the warrior class.
Yeah, I think that with this card plus the new warrior hero that gives all the mech rush.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this card is has a lot of potential.
Yeah, if you get Dr. Boom down and then all 3 of the cards in your hand have rush, I mean, it just sounds insane to me. So
yes.
I think I was most excited about playing Quest Warrior when Witchwood came out, and now I really want to play Zoo Mech Warrior. I don't know why Warrior is just my class lately, but it seems like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. I actually feel pretty good about Warrior as well. Like you mentioned, the Quest Warrior. I also experimented with the Art Warrior right now. It seems to be pretty good.
Yeah. There's been actually some really high level players who are doing well with Odd Warrior, with some Control Warrior variants. It's been a while since we've seen like what was dubbed as Wallet Warrior, because there were so many legendary minions in it. Really do well, but it seems like we're kind of in a place where there's enough to make it viable. But with a few more tools, it could really be a bit more aimed at, I don't know if it's more of a casual player or not, but it'll be interesting with these new mechanics to see how it fits in. Another card we wanted to talk about here is Giggling Inventor. This is a rare neutral minion. It's 5 mana, it's a 2-1, and it reads Battle Cry, summon 2/1/2 mechs with Taunt and Divine Shield. So, William, as a newer player, have you heard of Annoyotron? Do you know what this card is?
Yes, I know what it is. 1/2 Taunt, Divine Shield.
Right, so basically this Giggling Inventor is summoning two of those. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be exactly the Annoyotron art or something like that. But it is effectively like just build a wall. What do you think about this? Is this going to be something that's going to be really good for a defensive deck, or where do you think it fits?
This card, I would say it could be both aggro and control and mid range. It could be, it just depends on what other cards go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really interesting because like for a token deck that just wants a bunch of stuff on the board. This is fine, yeah. Right? I mean, that 2-1 can die pretty easily, but the 2/1/2s with Divine Shield, that's going to take a lot of resources, either minions or hero power spells or something to get all of it
yes.
off. So I think yeah. you play this on turn 5 especially, and you've got a good chance 1/2 or maybe all three of them are going to live the next turn.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that the mech decks that we could be seeing just love this because with the staying power of those Annoyotrons, then adding on something that's magnetic to them, like that's what you want. You want something that's sticky that can just last a turn so that next turn you can buff it with something magnetic and do some really crazy stuff. Zilliax is the name of that crazy mech with all the effects and stuff. So it could be that.
Yes.
It could be even a War Gear, which is just the 5 mana 5/5. You know, that's such a big buff for a little 1/2. But being able to attack with it immediately is a really big deal.
Yes, yes. So the thing is that what kind of whatever this card's printed like this, mm-hmm. I think about what we can do to counter play. Right? What is there a counter to this? Besides. Mossy Horror.
That's the big one, man. I think that if you see much of this card, which I do expect, you're going to see Mossy
yes.
Horror teched into a lot of decks.
Yes.
And we've already seen Mossy Horror do some work lately with as an odd paladin, token druid, counter, even sometimes like even shaman or something like that. So if you got one of those in Witchwood, you're in a good place. And if not, you might be crafting one come expansion time. Really exciting. Well, okay. Well, why don't you talk to us now about your chosen card of the week here, William, because this is a really exciting legendary that I think a lot of people are nervous about and excited about at the same time.
Oh, the Flobitinous Flub. I don't even, I heard the cast is talking about this. Like, how are we going to say this? This guy needs to top deck Flobitinous Flub for $250,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So Flobitinous Floop is the legendary druid minion, 4 mana 3/4, and he reads, while in your hand, this is a 3/4 copy of the last minion you played. So are you excited about this card? Are you nervous? Where do you land?
Excited and nervous at the same time, like you said, because I don't know what the potential is until we play it. That's the only way to find out. Right, the natural idea would be like copying Hydronox, copying Madagos. Yeah, we'll see. That's a lot of possibilities too, besides those two cards.
Yeah, have you played much of the current Druid decks that are running around? I guess we've got Token, Taunt, and Big Druid is kind of the big ones.
Yeah, I play all three,
okay.
and I like Madagos Druid right now. I feel that. It's probably going to be favored in most of the matchups.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, it's actually not an easy deck to play.
Yeah, I think that especially the Malagos implications really concern me because the way that this reads, it means that it's a copy of the last minion you played, not this turn, but that you played. So you can play Malagos
yes.
on turn 9 or whatever turn after that, and you're done for that
yes.
turn, your opponent kills it, and then the next turn, you can play Flobitinous Floop for 4 mana, and it's a 3/4
yes.
Malagos. You can Faceless
yes.
Manipulator that copy of Malagos, and then you've got 10 spell
yes.
damage, And you've still got one more mana for, you know, I guess there aren't any one mana spells in Standard that actually do damage to the face. But your double Moonfire at that point is going to do 22 damage for zero mana.
Yeah.
Seems pretty strong to me.
Yeah, pretty scary.
And Druid has all of the card draw things that it needs. So I you know, and one other implication that I'm wondering, have you seen the teased picture of the legendary spell for Druid yet?
Not yet.
So it was teased by Disguised Toast, and all of his teasers have come true so far. So I don't think he's just trying to go to Blizzard jail again, but I think they actually gave him this. And he showed actually Flubidinous Floop's artwork. And he showed the legendary spell, which is called Floop's Glorious Goop, which is the most fun named card ever. But it's just a picture of kind of swirling green ooze with a plant coming in, out of it. I know it's like pure speculation. It's really hard to tell, like, what in the world could this do? But I'm curious, with Flubidinous Floop being as potentially powerful as he is, do you think this legendary spell will combine with him in some way, or will it be something altogether different that's just also potentially powerful?
I would speculate something related to that legendary.
I'm really concerned if that's the case. When people first saw it, and especially saw the plant, I saw somebody on Twitter saying, like, oh, this card is going to give them 672 mana crystals for this turn. That's what it's going to do, because that's what Druid needs. And that's obviously a joke. But I'm really interested to see if it is something sort of like creating another copy, or, you know, maybe being something that can, you know, go from turn to turn. Maybe a copy is the last spell that you played or something like that in a similar way. But we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be exciting regardless. William, do you know, like, which class or deck type you want to try first thing once Boomsday is released?
Druid.
It is Druid for you. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to test that Forbiddenous Floop and see if it's as powerful as people say it is.
So you're crafting him if you don't get him then. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
I think everyone has their, like, guaranteed crafts on day one that you just have to. And that's really exciting to have it in your sights like that. So we do still have several more cards to see, and it's really exciting. Again, we'll be excited to get our review episodes out starting next week, and it'll be a really good time. William, I'm so thankful you were able to join me for this episode. Are there any parting thoughts you want to leave us with as far as Boomsday incoming, or the competition level that you're continuing to strive for in Hearthstone?
I want to put out a shout out to Admirable and Rodan. Thank you so much for streaming my match and giving your insights and feedback, because watching the whole 90-minute streaming thing, I learned a lot as a player how to improve. Like, my thought process, I have to say, it's a bit amateur. It's not like a pro, you know, the way they look at things. So yeah, it definitely opened my eyes, opened my mind. So yeah, and then I also appreciate all the people that I met during the HCT Oakland, because I make so many new friends. Like, now I have somebody to talk to the game, maybe play test. I have a community. I feel I belong to the community now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thankful that you had that experience, because we talk about often how important it is that we welcome anybody into the fold, right? Because as the community grows, like, the authenticity and helpfulness, all that kind of stuff is going to grow as well. So I'm glad that you experienced that during your first outing, and I hope that that's everyone's experience, whether you're new to the game or you're just starting to get involved with Fireside Gatherings or tournaments. We're all in this together. And I've heard people say it, that as the tide grows, as the tide rises, all ships benefit from that. So I'm glad to hear that that's been your experience, man, and hope that we can continue to offer that to everybody for sure.
Well,
for any listeners who want to stay connected with you, maybe see your Hearthstone hijinks in the near future, how can they do that, William?
Yes. So I would say that I just mentioned this earlier today on my Facebook. I would say that primarily my Twitter is WH53. Mm-hmm. And then I do have a Twitch channel, WILLHUNGHS. So Will Hung HS. And that's also my in-game name. And my BattleTech number is 1752. So feel free to reach out.
Perfect. Yeah, everyone's always looking for people to play with and get those 80 gold quests or 160 gold quests right now.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, that's really exciting, man. Well, thank you so much again for joining me, William. This has been a blast hanging out with you and talking some Hearthstone. Looking forward to seeing how Floop treats you in the Boomsday days ahead.
Yeah, I'll be at the pre-release in Los Angeles. So yeah, I'll definitely be one of the first people to let you know.
Awesome. Well, yeah, if any of our friends are in LA, definitely definitely say hi to William while you're there too. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Don't you just want to be William Hung's friend? I'm just saying. I had such a blast with him. Cannot thank him enough again on the other side of it for being a part of the Happy Hearthstone here. And also, William let me know afterwards that he actually does have a recurring Twitch time that he'll be streaming. He'll be streaming now on Saturdays from 10 a.m. till noon Pacific time. So if you're hanging out Saturday morning, need to watch some Hearthstone, again, twitch.tv/WillHungHS. And he also sent me a link to his most recent TEDx talk, which is pretty cool that he had that opportunity. It doesn't have to do with Hearthstone, but he kind of tells more in depth of his story with American Idol and how he's really turned that into something positive. So I put the link to that and everything else over at the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. And I know that you didn't get a specific Card of the Week song from William. I offered it to him and he didn't really want to go down that road, but I asked him if I could do a song in his honor and he was cool with that. So in reverse, here's your song for the Card of the Week. He's into making copies, oozes, and lots of gloop. He's looking quite mysterious. His name is Flabidius Floop. He likes to copy Malagos and make Moonfire from the rain. He's gonna make you lose your mind. He's gonna make you lose insane. He's gonna get into your brain. Malagos and all his friends are living the Floop life loca. He's gonna run you out and he's making a fine little mocha. That's all I got. It was kind of off the top of my head. But again, thank you so much, William Hung, for being a part of this. And hey, I would love for you, if this is your first time hanging out with us, be sure that you join us next week for those Happy Hearthstone review episodes. I'm so excited. Like I mentioned, Wicked Good and I are going to go in depth on every single card over two episodes. Should be about 6 hours total in content. You'll be able to find that in any podcast app that you listen to things. You can just search for the Happy Hearthstone. Or, of course, you can always go to thehappyhearthstone.com and find the episodes there. Also, if you're not following me on Twitter, be sure to do that at AndrewIsLiving, and you can find out all the new stuff that's going on in my world and all of my hot takes on all the cards. Also, you can follow me on Twitter or on Twitch, at AndrewIsLiving as well. And you can find those links and everything over at thehappyhearthstone.com. I also have to give a big shout out to my buddy Geeksay. He interviewed me this past week for his show, Creator Investigator, where he talks to different content creators about how to create content. And I was honored to hang out with him. He just got picked up by Fade to Karma and is a great Hearthstone player and a lot of fun. If you haven't seen his Twitch stream, you really need to make a point to go do that. Geeksay is Geeksehh. And you can search for Creator Investigator on your podcast app and you'll find it on there. Latest episode is featuring yours truly. So I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the remaining days of the Witchwood meta and look in eager anticipation towards the things that are ahead. Oh, I can't wait for Boomsday. It's coming. It's almost here. And thank you so much for joining us at the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you guys next week.